WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road this week, next week, every week, leading up to when Santa comes down the chimney. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some Santa-related scented cards to give away a little later on. But in the meantime, I have Raven Scratch-Offs. Still some chances to win the Tickets for Life. A bunch of the big cash prizes still out there. I talked to John Martin from the Maryland Lottery last week. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. A 0% financing for 5 years through the holidays. I can't begin to tell you, on these cold nights and stuff, having better windows, It's just been a better gig since I got better windows. It's been better all the way around, for bugs, for drafts, for my heating bill, the whole deal. So a Window Nation, my thanks to them. And also Jiffy Lube, MultiCare, also with us, riding this Maryland Crab Cake Tour around town right now. We're going to be at Pappas in Parkville on Tuesday. The great, great mentor to me and author, John Eisenberg, will be my guest at Pappas in Parkville on Tuesday. Christian Horton's coming down from Hollywood Casino in Perryville, where we're taking the Crab Cake Tour next week after we go over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house and eat figgy pudding and have all the leftovers and wall-to-wall football. Football all day Thursday. Football half the day Friday. Football all day Saturday if you like college. Football all day Sunday. And then they come back and they're going to do it again. So the Ravens play on Sunday night. We are going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. We're going to be at Gertrude's at the BMA next Thursday, talking some art, talking some culture, talking some Dan Roderick's play in Baltimore, and You Have No Idea and all that stuff. And then on Friday, December 1st, we're up at Hollywood Casino in Perryville with Christian Horton and our friends up there. And Indiana plays Maryland that day, and Kirk McEwen's band's playing, so it'll all be good. Luke has had the weekend off. I'd say you've mowed your lawn, but there's no lawn to mow right now. What do you do besides watch old WWE videos when you get a weekend free like this, Luke?
You know, you made an assumption there. I did mow my lawn on Friday, and it's not because of the length of the grass. You have to mulch up all the leaves, especially when you have as many trees as I do in my backyard. So I was able to do that. I did watch plenty of football. I did watch a little bit of wrestling, as you alluded to, so you were right on there. But these weekends are always fun, whether we're talking about the bye week coming up here not that long from now, or when the Ravens play on a Thursday night or a Monday night, or even as this coming week comes, so with the Sunday night game, it gives you a chance to relax a little bit, you know, whether you're talking about it as a reporter like me or a fan where you're not as stressed out, the Ravens aren't playing, and you can kind of survey, you know, you put on Red Zone, which I did that, and you look around the rest of the league. And I think my big takeaway, while certainly the highlight game of week 11 is the Monday night showdown, you know, with Kansas City and Philadelphia, but looking around the rest of the league, I think what you find is you feel really good about the Baltimore Ravens. Not that they're perfect, but they're 8-3, and you look around the rest of the, especially just looking at the AFC, if we want to focus on them, and, you know, there's a couple good teams. You know, Jacksonville looked really good, although they didn't look good the previous week. You know, there's certainly teams that are playoff caliber. I mean, Houston's been such a good story, but are there any teams that you really look at right now, other than, like I said, Kansas City is the standard of the last 5 years, where you say, wow, I think they're better than the Ravens? Or in most cases, are there teams even as good as the Ravens in the AFC? And it's not to say they're winning out. It's not to say that they, you know, that it isn't a case where they need to go out there and play really good football every week and all of that. But looking around the rest of the league, I see a bunch of okay teams and I see some really bad teams out there. But I think you look at it and you say, there's no one playing better than the Baltimore Ravens right now. And we said that, we were saying that leading into the Cleveland game a week ago. And that loss aside, the rebound against Cincinnati on Thursday night, I think you feel really good about this football team and where they stand right now, which is very much jockeying for the top seed in the conference.
You know, Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter, we're going to do our crab cake tour up there on the 15th and import a crab cake as well. But they're sponsoring our 25th anniversary. And my old school, I used to have this MIDI thing. Marvin Lewis still talks about it. It was like a piano that fired sound effects. And one of the sound effects, I think it was like number 17, it said, "You suck." And I'm thinking, like, I'm sitting here all weekend and I'm like, these teams suck. Like, who's good enough? Who would be, you know, in a cocky way, if I'm involved with the Ravens in any way, to say, who's going to come in here and beat us? And then Burrow, and then Watson. Since the last time you and I got together, dude, I'm down like having a beer down at the National Harbor, Geddy Lee's about to do his thing. I look up and it's like, oh my God, you know, Burrow gone, you know, Watson gone, Joe Flacco back. It's been quite a turn of events over the weekend, above and beyond, you know, Buffalo winning a game, and I, you know, I don't know, the kid from Minnesota running around. I mean, Denver's been kind of exhumed from the dead to some degree. I mean, the Raiders even look competitive. I mean, like, so there are teams that, because once you think when a team's bad in September, you think they're going to be bad in November. Not always the case. Not even a case for the 2022 Orioles, right? Who weren't so good in April, but were pretty good in August or September. I think there are football teams that can trend that way as well. I mean, whatever Sean Payton's stamp is in Denver, whatever Antonio Pierce is doing in Las Vegas, that sort of changed things there a little bit. And some wavering places, you know, places like where Belichick's going to be gone. Pete Carroll's kind of hanging around. Tomlin lost the game on Sunday that they shouldn't have lost, and he's getting destroyed up in Pittsburgh because they like to pile on him to begin with. So there's all this happening, but in our division, it's over, dude. Cincinnati and Cleveland, it's over. Like, they're marching Joe back. I love Joe. Everybody knows I love Joe. But I don't know what that means for the 7-3 Browns, right? 7-3.
7-3. Look, I don't disagree with your sentiment. However, what we do need to point out here is it's not a level playing field from the standpoint of look at the Ravens' remaining schedule compared to the Browns' remaining schedule. That's the only thing I'll say. Do I think the Browns are a legitimate Super Bowl contender like the Ravens are? No, I don't whatsoever. You know, Dorian, you know, we
Hey.
talked about
Joe
DTR.
Flacco's elite. Don't you forget it.
Oh, Joe Flacco is not going to be playing. If he does, they're in trouble because he couldn't win with the Jets last year. I love Joe. He's going to be 39 years old in January.
Is that all? I thought he was older than
if he wants,
that.
I mean, I am never the guy that's going to tell someone to retire unless it would be for their physical benefit. If you're talking about concussions, something like that. But,
I
you
talked
know,
to Joe back in August. He told me, he's like,
he still wanted to
stay out of
play, right?
shape. He said,
I
stay
get
out of
it. I
shape. I
get
want to
it.
play, you know?
But to go back to your, and you know, not to dwell too much on Joe Flacco, because we'll see how it plays out. I mean, at this point, I think it is much more of a mentoring type role for a rookie quarterback who did some nice things early in that game in Cleveland. But I mean, it was a 13-10 final. Full disclosure, I dozed off in the third quarter of
Well, they
that
were
game.
number 19. That's all I need to know.
I don't know. I've not heard that. That would be a good fashion tweet.
It'd be
You
really
know.
weird to see him in a 5 or 19 in a Browns jersey, right? Like, only in modern times that would have been cruel to see a picture of that. Or worse yet, you know, after he did the bank from Pittsburgh, you know. But you know, he'll
Yeah.
strap it up, dude. He's gonna have the same helmet Jim Brown had.
He will. Although I'll just say that, I mean, think about it. He played in Denver. He played with the Jets. He was with the Eagles, back to the Jets. You know, so he's been around a little bit here. So I don't think it'll be too strange, but certainly being
He's
back in
no
the
Jake
AFC North.
Browning, you know.
So, but no, you look at that game. Look, Cleveland has a excellent defense. We've seen that. I don't think anyone would dispute that at this point in time. And we can, you know, people can debate Ravens or Browns and, you
And you
know,
can
and
also
all of that
debate
in
how
terms.
far that can take you, too.
Sure. Well, and here's the reality, Nestor. Offense is down around the league. Now, that doesn't feel the case quite as much in Baltimore with the way the Ravens offense has played for the better part of the last 5 weeks or so.
It does when you
But
sit and watch the games.
yeah, I mean 13-10. I mean, you see some of these other games. What the Dolphins and Raiders? I mean, the Dolphins who have had this prolific, explosive offense. You know, they scored 20 points. You know, that wasn't a terrible performance, but certainly wasn't something that wowed you.
But
And
hang on for a second. Here's the nerd in you that would say to me, if Lamar Jackson was a boy right now, would you have him play offense or defense? And all the best athletes, the kids that were basketball players, they tend to play defense, right? And they tend to, in the modern era, you don't need to be 380 pounds to play football, right? Like, you can be a 230, yeah. 240, 250 pound guy and make hay in college and play Kyle Hamilton, be an exceptional athlete and want to play football. You're going to be a defensive player. I think there's a point where it used to be tight end, wide receiver, but I do think the better athletes are playing defense these days. If you're faster, bigger, stronger, you are more helpful defensively. I think.
Maybe I honestly that I'm going to sound a little bit like John Harbaugh here when someone asks a deep question like that. I haven't given that a lot of thought, and I don't have data that would support that. So I'm not sure, but if that's the case, Nestor, and I'm not saying you're wrong, why was offense so ahead of the curve for the better part of the last decade, right?
Well,
it's been
I
the last
the
year
rules,
or two where
the rules
where it's
themselves
course corrected
play,
a little bit.
Play toward offense. I mean, they really do. I mean, if you've seen Odell Beckham's game this year, half of it's catching the ball, half of it's drawing penalties.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you from the rule standpoint overall, but you know what has led to the course correction the last year or two, and that would be my question. And I think that's probably more of a scheme thing than anything else. I mean,
well, do you want to play running back, or do you want to be a safety or a cornerback? I don't think anybody's going to sign up to be a running back anymore, right? Like, literally, athlete's going to. Kyle Hamilton's dad would have said, "My son's not a running back."
Yeah. But I'm talking more about scheme. I'm talking about coaching.
No, I agree with you. But I think you have to have the players for that scheme. I guess that, you know, in 2019, when Lamar's a pinball machine, they didn't have the – I just think over the last decade, defense has gotten ahead because of scheme and players to match that, that Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen would be more useful today than maybe they would have been 7 or 8 years ago, maybe even, in modern defenses.
Maybe, although I would say on the flip side, the quarterbacks are way more athletic now than they were even 7 or 8 years ago. I mean, 5 years ago, people were talking about Lamar Jackson needing to change positions, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in football and is an MVP candidate again. So, and while Lamar might be at the extreme, you know, at the top of that, quarterbacks need to be more athletic now. I mean, you're not seeing many pure pocket passers. That's why if Joe Flacco has to play for the Browns, they're in trouble because Joe can't move. I mean, he could barely move enough 10 years ago, as far as what the game was 10 years ago. He could, but that's not the case in 2023. You need a quarterback who can move around. That's why Josh Dobbs with Minnesota, you know, albeit in a loss on Sunday night, it's been a good story. And he's been able to do some nice things for them and turn their season around to the point where, you know, they still have a shot to make the playoffs, even with their defeat. But, you know, you want quarterbacks who can move around. You want quarterbacks who can take off and run or extend plays. So
how about Purdy? You know, I mean, it was crazy, right?
I mean, Brock Purdy, perfect passer rating on Sunday. And look, is that a quarterback-friendly system? There's no doubt about it. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo going from there to the Raiders and seeing how disastrous that was might be a reminder of that. But he's still putting up unbelievable numbers. The efficiency is tremendous. So you have to give him credit there. But, you know, the offense versus defense thing we're talking about here, I hear the point you're making. I'm not sure that I agree with it completely, but the point is there's a lot of athleticism in the game. I talked about it at the quarterback position, talked about it at tight end with you know, the guys like Kelce and Kittle, Mark Andrews, until the unfortunate injury Thursday night. So you have that, but yeah, athleticism. And we've seen it with the Ravens defense specifically. Okay, you have your defensive front, but think about everything they asked their linebackers to do in terms of cover, play the run, but also blitz. And we've seen Patrick Queen do a phenomenal job as a blitzer and Roquan Smith. But, you know, Queen's really found, you know, a niche in being able to do that at a high level. But they asked their defensive backs to blitz. You know, they asked guys swap roles pre-snap or even after the snap. You'll see some of the switching they do. I mean, it's just become much more sophisticated on the defensive side. And I think that's where we've seen defenses catch up a little bit after a long time where the offense ruled. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's not 1975 defense ruling, kind of an NFL, but certainly we've seen it course correct a little bit. But, you know, at the same time, there are still some excellent offenses out there. And looking in the AFC, I mean, obviously, Kansas City and the Ravens at the top of the conference right now. Jacksonville hung 34 on Tennessee. There's certainly teams that can score. Miami, not so much Sunday, but overall, we've seen them score a ton of points. So there's still offenses that can sling it and score points and make life miserable for defenses. But it has been interesting this year to see it kind of catch up. And you made a point a minute ago that, yeah, there are definitely some of these games where it feels like nothing happens until a flag is thrown, and it's like, oh, okay. So, it is what it is. I don't think this is, in general, I don't think 2023 has been the most compelling NFL season that we've had in recent years. And I think the injuries in general are a big part of the reason why. You mentioned Watson, you mentioned Joe Burrow. Aaron Rodgers lost three snaps into the Jets season and what that's meant for them and their inability to score. Kirk Cousins, although Josh Dobbs has done such a commendable job filling in for him. But, you've got a lot of quarterbacks around this league either not playing well or hurt, and then you're going to backup quarterbacks. And when you have a league that doesn't have 32 quality starters, and then you start to have attrition kick in, yeah, it can be pretty difficult on the eyes to watch some of the offense in these games. But hey, in Baltimore, the Ravens don't have that problem right now as they're 8-3 and feeling good and preparing for a Chargers team that I'd be remiss if I didn't mention not just that they lost in Green Bay, not just that Quentin Johnston dropped what would have been the game-winning touchdown. Justin Herbert wasn't the problem in that game for the Chargers. Lots of drops. And Brandon Staley, their coach, who just a couple years ago, a lot of people were considering a genius.
He was
Some
the,
post
wasn't he like Ted Lasso?
he was kind of considered the, ahead of the curve, going for it on fourth down a whole lot. The big problem, put that stuff aside, because I'm not even, I'm not anti going for it on fourth down and using analytics and things of that nature, but problem is, this is a defensive-minded coach, and his defenses have stunk. Now, they didn't stink. That wasn't their biggest problem on Sunday. It was drop passes and just some untimely mistakes in general, but their defenses stink. And he was asked again after the loss to the Packers about changes on defense and making, whether he's going to continue to call plays. And he kind of had a, it wasn't Jim Mora-like, but he had a little bit of a, a little bit of a rant, meltdown, whatever you want to call it, and basically just saying, stop asking me that. I'm going to keep calling the defense. Well,
It kind of reminded me in front of the Chargers thing of the Ryan Leaf tirade a little bit, It did have a little bit of that. Like I looked at it and I thought to myself, this is why like Chad Steele took my press pass because I would not sit in there and take that. I would not be spoken to like that from the dais. I just wouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like from a reporter standpoint, just asking a question, it was out of line. He was out of line.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
we're
it's
and by the way, Bosa too. Did you mention Bosa?
Bosa getting hurt. Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, it's certainly a that's nothing new, unfortunately. I mean, just someone who hasn't been able to stay on the field. But I think the Chargers, we've talked so much about the Ravens, right? With these late game losses, blown leads in the fourth quarter. My gosh, that's a fraction of what the Chargers have been for years now. Where you look at them losing one score games. I mean, that is a team that does less with more than just about any team in the league. I mean, it really feels that way. And it's a shame for their sake from the standpoint of, I think Justin Herbert is a heck of a quarterback. If you watch them on a consistent basis, and I'm not saying I'm not saying he's flawless. He's got his questions just like basically any quarterback not named Patrick Mahomes in today's NFL. But you watch him on a weekly basis, I mean, I think he can really play, and I think he can play at a really high level. But whether it's untimely injuries, whether it's their defense being lousy on Sunday, it was multiple drops, including some from Keenan Allen, the guy that you normally depend on. So it's a Chargers team that's 4-6. From a talent level standpoint, they should be better than that. So from that standpoint, the Ravens need to go out there and play a good football game. I mean, this is not a team that's, some talentless group of misfits or hapless or anything like that. They self-destruct. So the big thing you need to do against them is just play a complete football game, keep your foot on the gas, play clean football, and chances are, if you do that, guess what'll happen? The Chargers, they'll charger it up at some point. And if you do that, you get the win on Sunday Night Football. But yeah, that's a team that you wonder. I was even wondering as we were all waking up Monday morning, if We were going to hear late night news that Brandon Staley was canned. That's how bad things are going for that football team that is 4-6 and should be a lot better. I mean, that's a team that should be in the wild card race right now. And maybe they'll get back in it before it's over, but.
Well, they also have a big problem there. They have no fans, right? So it's Thanksgiving week. Some of our people might be going out there. I would be out in San Diego having Thanksgiving with my family if I were still a real media member, because I would, you know, be interested in doing this at SoFi Stadium, all of that. I mean, take a ticket, any ticket, if you're a Raven fan. I mean, they don't have enough people. It's not Taylor Swift. It's not Jay-Z and Beyonce showing up. It's the Chargers, and that stadium's huge. And just, you know, having spent time out there now over the last couple of years at various points, just seeing what the marketing thing is, where the Rams had the parade and nobody really cares about football out there. And there's no tradition. There's no longstanding anything that, you know, 4-6, you don't move to the back of the LA Times sports page. You just move to, I mean, you're already at the back because there's a beach and there's pretty girls and there's Hollywood and there's all that going on, and you're a pirated team. But it's made even worse when things aren't going well. And the quarterback's got more commercials than he's got, you know, touchdown passes, and certainly more commercials than they have victories at this point. So we're going to sit here and talk about the Chargers this week. This is a different thing going to San Diego, where there's a community and there's a history, and it's the big empty. I mean, that team's going to wind up in Frankfurt. That team's going to wind up in London. By the way, I'm out of the league now, right? So they don't, you know, there's no more Dick Casses. You're the only one they allow in there. I see these things happening with television now. When I watch, they had a Steeler fan bar that they kept showing in Dublin, Ireland. They're going to play a game in Dublin, right? The Steelers are going to be in Ireland next year, right? They're going to play a game there. There could be no doubt. Why are they gathering Steelers fans in Ireland at Croke Park, where I saw you two 6 years ago? That looks like a college football stadium, quite frankly. Like, they're going to play games. They're doing all of this strategically and setting up all this stuff. And they have this lame ass franchise in LA. They have this lame ass franchise in Jacksonville that we're going to go to in a couple of weeks, that I still see empty seats when they're good. And they have this, you know, Southern quarterback that's going to help them sell tickets and all that. Like, and they have a good coach too. We'll talk about Jacksonville 3 weeks from now, 'cause we're going to play them, but these are weird trips, and our fans get to go and just sit wherever they want, because football doesn't matter in a lot of these places. And the coach's meltdown, the quarterback, the underproducing, the ownership, the Spanos family trying to grow something that I consider 3,000 miles away and say that's a mistake. Now, how big of a mistake it is, whatever. It's not a mistake if you're making $100 million a year off your franchise, which they are. And by the way, I had Tom Kelso on this week too. You might want to come back for that. I did 45 minutes on Bisciotti and Angelos and stadium money. And there's no lease, by the way. So that's, the Orioles can't even put their tickets on sale. So we're talking about incompetence at the highest level. The Chargers feel like they have some incompetence. And to your point, they feel like the kind of team that would fire their coach Thanksgiving Eve. You know what I mean? Like, day's not over yet. You know, check Twitter, because they feel like a dysfunctional place. And I hope they don't circle the wagons this week after their coach loses his mind and their defensive star can't get on the field and their quarterback's a little bit under siege. And I hope it's a good week to go out there and sneak out of LA with a victory after you've had your pumpkin pie, because it's a quiet trip, right? It's a holiday trip. They're going to go out on Friday. Yep. Everything's quiet. The practice is weird this week. They're going to have had off a little time for their bodies. Then they get the bye. This is the week that, you know, Harbaugh gets their attention, make sure they're not sleepwalking. And, you know, 9-3 smells really good for 2 weeks when you're watching these other teams play football all day.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, this is definitely a week where you want to really be zeroed in. You want to be focused in on what the task is. You can't be thinking, okay, we had the extra rest after the Thursday night game. Hey, we got one game left and then we have the bye week. You don't want to go into the bye week now, right? You don't want to mentally be on the bye week, because as I said, this is still a team that has plenty of talent. And, you know, Justin Herbert's good. I will continue to say that. I think a lot of Justin Herbert. I think he's a guy that needs a better coach, better head coach. I think certainly that roster has holes in it. That defense has been bad, period. And again, Brandon Staley is a defensive coach, and even with talented players, they haven't really produced the kind of numbers that you would expect from what their talent level should be on the defensive side of the ball. But they are capable. That is not. I don't view that as a 4-6 team that has no hope. They're a 4-6 team that should probably be 6-4. Let's say. I feel like they're the kind of team that should at least be in the mix for a wild card spot, even if they're not going to overtake Kansas City by any means. But but if you're the Ravens, you need to go out there and play good football. And I think maybe where John can get their attention a little bit more is look at how that Arizona game played out a few weeks back, where the Ravens won, but we saw how that game played out in the fourth quarter to the point where they had to recover an onside kick at the end, because the Cardinals kept playing and the Ravens kind of did their thing where they went into autopilot a little bit. So, you don't want to do that against this team. As you mentioned, even for a Sunday night football game, it's probably not going to be the most electric atmosphere. And who knows, might be a lot of Ravens fans going out there. I mean, it is Thanksgiving weekend and a trip to LA. That sounds like a fun time if you don't have too much with your family going on. So
can I tell people to go to K-Town and go to my favorite Korean ice place, or should I give the tip right now? If you want the tip, send me an email. I'll make sure you, if you're out in LA, I'll make sure you get good Korean barbecue and certainly the best Korean shave ice on this continent. No disrespect to New York, but if you're out in LA, you should eat well.
There you go. There you go. But I mean, the Chargers, it's crazy. They are, as NFL teams go, they're third fiddle, right? I mean, the Rams, even though the Rams obviously aren't great this year, but they won a Super Bowl recently. The Raiders still have more juice than the Chargers do in LA. Think about that. I mean, the Raiders haven't played in LA in a quarter century, and there's still more juice for the Raiders in LA. I've heard
Shot multiple. Khan and Spanos get together 3 years from now, and you're AEW and like all that, and they just say, look, London, Frankfurt, let's go, two of us together. Who's going to stop it? Seriously.
I mean, there's still a lot to work out with that. I'm not saying that won't.
There was a lot to work out in 17 games. There was a lot to work out the last player. There's always a lot to work out.
Okay, but going from 16 to 17 games is a different animal than moving across the Atlantic Ocean. And we've seen international games continue to be a part of what the NFL does. That's not going to change.
Money. That's freshly prished euros.
Let's be clear.
They smell different than the Canadian money or the United States money or those pesos that we got.
I am not saying
in Mexico.
I'm not saying it won't happen, but I'm not. We'll see when.
I'll live long enough to say I told you so. All right. By the way,
I'm not saying it won't happen in 20 or 30. 20 years.
I'll get the baseball with you too, and we'll talk lease and all that. But the Oakland Athletics are no moss, right? They were voted unanimously to move to Las Vegas because unanimously every team came in there and saw the situation and said, we got to relegate this. You know what I mean? And I think the Chargers are one of those six situations where they need to be relegated. Jacksonville probably needs to be relegated before it's all over with. They'll be relegated to Europe within, I'm 55 by the time the real AAR people chase me down and I get a proper discount at a movie theater at 65.
So 10 years? Okay. Because you were making it
sound
like
I've known you 16 years. 10 years is not a long time.
No.
10 years, Scott, you think thinking Joe Flacco's over the hill. That's how long 10 years is.
You made it sound like you were talking like 3 or 4 years, and I'm like, I don't think it's going to happen that quickly. But 10 years?
Sabres have been rattling already. They're already 2 years into playing in Germany, so they want to get one in England, one in Germany. They've already set up businesses there. They're ready to go. Shad's got the team already juiced up and playing over there. So come on, man.
I still think you're still talking about one-offs. Or in Jacksonville's case, they did play their back-to-back weeks this year. That's still a different animal than. How are you doing that for 17 games? How are you in any way trying to make that equitable from a scheduling standpoint, from a competitive balance standpoint? I think there's a lot
They're
to work out there.
They're playing three games on Thursday this week. You're telling me they care about it. They don't care about anything other than money, and they'll make a lot of it.
Thanksgiving games have been there forever. So, but
hey, I'll tell you what. There's more
again,
interest
I'm saying
in
it won't happen.
There was more interest in Frankfurt, Germany last week. And my wife paid $1.25 for the tickets on the roof with her date. And it was legitimate. StubHub, I mean, I saw that the market, there's more market
for the Colts and the Patriots there, and bringing football there, and putting a German, having a team wear gold and red and black and call themselves the whatever they're going to call themselves, than there is having a second team in LA running around in Lance Allworth jerseys and having zero impact in the community. And the fans from our fan base that goes out and sees it this week, they'll see that. I mean, it doesn't take much to figure it out, but like, that was a mistake that I was there the day it happened. I was 8 feet away from Roger Goodell when it happened. And I'm like, oh my God, you know? So that's the cautionary tale about all this. But to both of our points, Ravens better play well against this, whatever this outfit is over there, because you're hitting them at a time where like the sky's falling there, right? To your point, like we haven't hit many of these late season coach meltdown, empty stadium, empty soul, empty franchise, holiday weekend, like 8-3. I mean, the Ravens have played well enough to win every game. That's the beauty of them, because I've seen all these other teams, including Jacksonville, Detroit, and Seattle against us, just get annihilated once. And if the Ravens are going to get annihilated somewhere, it's going to happen on the road. If they're going to have a bad beat, just roll out of bed the wrong way and just get beaten. It's got to make sure it's not this week, because that hasn't happened all year, and that's a tribute to John. I mean, these guys are always ready to play. They really are.
I mean, think about it. When was the last time I was actually pondering this over the weekend, the aftermath of Thursday night's game, where when was the last time with Lamar Jackson starting, not counting any of these Tyler Huntley games the last couple of years late in the season, when was the last time the Ravens played a game and they were just plain out outplayed, right? I mean, not even necessarily that it was this blowout loss, but they lost decidedly. You might have to go back to 2021. Maybe that Bengals game, the first Bengals game that year, where they couldn't tackle Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, was it that? You know when it was? The Miami Thursday night game. That's probably the last one where they looked awful in that game. I mean, that
Well,
was.
that's Thursday Night Football. I mean, right?
But the point, I mean, that was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago that with a healthy Lamar Jackson starting and finishing a game that they lost a game that. They kind of stunk. I mean, the funny thing is the Pittsburgh loss back in early October, they stunk in that game. I mean, with all the drop passes, it's not like they had a huge lead in that game. I mean, they should have had a huge lead in that game and they just never built it. And then of course, Kenny Pickett made his one play that he makes in a game. Boy, he stinks.
He stinks. I almost tweeted like
I
Snoop
mean,
would be a better quarterback for the Steelers than Kenny Pickett.
And I'm not trying to get too far off topic, but since I brought him up, I don't know what the issue is there, whether it's Kenny Pickett or Matt Canada, the coordinator. I think it's both, quite frankly. I mean, that offense is it's awful. It's awful. And I'll hear Sunday, yeah, Cleveland's got an excellent defense. I'll hear that for Sunday, but what about every other game? I mean, they need to give the ball to Jaylen Warren more. That's about the only suggestion I have for the Steelers. Other than that, it feels like they're a lost cause because I don't think Kenny Pickett can play. I mean, he's had these nice fourth quarter moments, including against the Ravens. So, hey, he's done something, but
I
start
watch
to
him drop
finish.
back to pass in the first quarter, and I'm thinking, Mike Tomlin, he must want another job.
It's
Like,
so
literally.
uninspiring, right? I mean,
I
it's
don't
not
look at
good.
him and think we're winning with him. You know?
No, I mean,
No.
and I get it. They're 6-4, so they've gotten this far, but it's just you look at that offense. We've talked about it. They've been outgained in every game this year and all those different stats that have kind of made their record almost a miracle that they've been as good as they've been record-wise. But yeah, that offense is just not good enough. The Browns, well, you want to give the rookie a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. And hey, he started off pretty good in that game. And then he had a solid final drive that put them in position to kick the game winner. But you just wonder if it's going to be good enough. I think the Browns can certainly make the playoffs as a wild card. I think the defense running game, if the kid can play clean enough football for them, I think it'll be good enough. Because hey, it's going to be three wild cards, right? I mean, we can keep talking about the mediocrity, but some of these teams are going to make it, regardless of how you feel about them. But very limited offense in that football game, and certainly on the Pittsburgh side. Yeah, the Ravens are going to play them at the end of the year, and they better win. Better not lose to the Steelers again, especially if you're battling for the number one seed at that point. But certainly a very limited brand of offensive football we saw from both of those teams on Sunday afternoon.
All right, happy gobble gobble to everybody out there. Luke and I are going to talk a little baseball here before Thanksgiving. I had Tom Kelso on from the Maryland Stadium Authority at length. We're going to sit with him next Friday at Hollywood Casino. I'm doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery with Window Nation and our friends at Jiffy Lube, MultiCare. We're getting out in the community again this week. We're going to be at Pappas and Parkville this week before Thanksgiving. Next week, Coco's Wednesday. We're going to be at the BMA and Gertrude's on Thursday, then up in Perryville on Friday, December the 1st. December the 1st already? My goodness gracious. We had an unbelievable chat with Dundalk High Principal Paul Satterfield last week about education. Only thing was missing was Luke, man. But I brought Luke in with my science teacher, George Shulin, 2 months ago. Now I brought the son of our science teacher, Stan Jablonski, over to Costas last week to talk some education in my new high school at Dundalk High. Tablets and kids and no cursive and the new math. I don't know. Still trying to learn the old math. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Ravens football during a holiday week in Baltimore. Positive.